It was a morning in Jesus' name again this morning, and it's good to see all of you here. You know, as time goes on, I still look at these young people that are growing up, and they were children not that long ago, now they're young people, and then they keep moving farther back. I still know most of your where you belong, but it's getting a little bit, it kind of worries me a little bit. Once in a while, I see somebody, I have to ask myself, now who is this? But that's just what happens. But I'm glad to be here this morning and be able to worship with you. The song that James picked to sing this morning, I was actually the one I was going to pick, but he also mentioned another one that gave me another idea. I'd like to sing number 304, and if you could blow A flat there for us, James, we'll sing "Let There Be Light, Lord God of Hosts." It's another one of my favorite songs.
Let there be light, Lord God of hosts. Let there be wisdom on the earth. Let broad humanity have birth. Let there be peace instead.
The song that we sang there, I can't remember the number, was it 492? It talks about Jesus walking the city streets again. Does he want to do that? Does Jesus want to come and walk the streets of Seymour or Springfield? What do you think? Does he? Yes, he does. He does. He wants to do it through you. And through me. He wants to be here. He wants to be represented here through us. This morning I'd like to think about the title of the message, if you want to give it a title, would be The Fear of God versus the Fear of Man, or The Fear of Man versus the Fear of God. And I'd like to start off with two verses here. Proverbs 14, verse 27. Says, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. And then just several chapters later, in chapter 29, verse 25, says, the fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be saved. So we see two things here. We see the fear of God, which is a fountain of life, and it saves us from the snares of death. And then it says that the fear of man brings a snare, but whoso puts his trust in the Lord shall be saved. Now, the fear of the Lord That phrase is used many, many, many times in the scripture. And the word fear of man in our King James Version only once, as far as I know. But it gives many examples of people who did fear man and so on. So let's think a little bit about fear. What is it? The dictionary says that fear is an unpleasant emotion caused by the belief that something or someone is dangerous. It's likely to cause pain or a threat. So we could say that fear is a feeling that something bad is about to happen. Now, do you like to be scared? I'm going to talk to the younger people here mostly because they're the ones that will answer me, I'll bet you. Do you like to be scared? No? Nobody likes to be scared. Who likes to be scared? Please raise your hand if you like to be scared. All right, so you're never going to allow to listen to a scary story again. Do you like that idea? Or do you like scary stories a little bit, kind of? There's a little bit of scariness that we kind of like sometimes, a little bit of adventure. We like to do things that kind of make us do that sometimes, a little bit, not too much. But none of us, nobody in the whole wide world likes to be really, really, really afraid, where you can taste it. You're so scared that you can really taste it and you can almost smell it. It's just, you're just so terribly scared. That nobody likes that. It's a terrible thing, really. And really, it's not a good thing to be for that kind of fear. A child who grows up living in fear, it's not healthy. They don't develop very well. If they're always afraid, it's not good for them. And an adult who lives in fear won't develop either spiritually as he should. To be constantly afraid, it's not good. However, as we all know, there's also a healthy kind of fear, and a healthy fear is a fear that recognizes that there are some things that are really dangerous and that we should be afraid of. Isn't that true? There are some things that are really dangerous and we should be afraid of. So tell me what's dangerous and we should be afraid of it. Somebody help me out here. Is fire dangerous? It is, isn't it? Yeah, thank you. Yeah, it is. It's dangerous. And we should have a certain fear of it. When I was little, I didn't have enough fear of it. I had more of a fascination than a fear, and I almost burned the house down once on a Sunday afternoon that I'll never forget. And then I got another kind of burn a little bit later after that. Fire is very dangerous, and we should be afraid of it to a certain extent. Anything else that we should be afraid of? Think we should be afraid of poisonous snakes? Yeah, absolutely. I agree. I just don't like poisonous snakes at all. I really don't like any snakes very much. I can get along well without them, I think, but I know that they do some good things, so I don't just destroy them wantonly like I may have at one time. But poisonous snakes, I just don't like at all. And so I think we should be afraid of it. And that's a healthy kind of fear. That kind of fear kind of helps keep us safe sometimes because we recognize that fear, or we recognize that some things are dangerous and can actually do us harm. There's all kinds of harm. See, we're made up of body and soul and spirit. We can see our bodies, but we really can't see our soul and our spirits, except we can observe the way a person behaves. Kind of, you can kind of see their soul and you can kind of see their spirit in that way, observe it. But the damage that can be done to us, it can be physical, or it can be emotional, or it can be spiritual. So not only things that hurt our bodies should we be afraid of, there are other things that can damage us emotionally or spiritually. And we have to, it's smart to have a certain fear of those things. And just recognize that they'll harm us and stay away. Maybe a good way to determine whether a fear is healthy or unhealthy, because sometimes we argue about that. I mean, we have a discussion about that. Sometimes between men and women, husband and wife, sometimes Sometimes the wife is really worried about something, and the husband's not worried about it. And they can't really decide whether they should be worried or whether they shouldn't. The wife thinks that the husband is just careless, and the husband thinks the wife is just a worrywart. That happens all the time. So how do you know? Maybe a good way to decide would be to decide that, look, can I do something about this or can't I? Can I do something about this or can't I? If you can't do anything about it, there's probably no use to be afraid. Don't worry about it. If you can do something about it, then you should. So those probably, maybe that would help us a little bit to decide if it's something that we can change. You know, there's that little serenity prayer, and doesn't come to my mind right now, but it's something about, God, help me have the courage to change the things I can change, and the patience, or whatever it is, to accept the things I can't change, and the wisdom to know the difference. You know, there's a lot to that. We've heard it often, and we don't think that much of it, maybe, but there's really a lot to that when you think about it. So fear is a very normal human emotion, and even people in the Bible had fear, and God came to them many, many, many times to his people in the Old Testament especially, and he tells them, fear not, to Abraham. He says, he came to Abraham and said, fear not. And the first time I think he said that to Abraham was after Abraham had, I think it was right after he had gone and rescued Lot from the kings that had captured him. So he said to Abraham, fear not. He said it to Isaac. He said, fear not, Isaac. I'll be, just like I was with Abraham, I'll be with you. And so he came and comforted him many times and said, fear not. He said it to Hagar. Now Hagar is someone that we, let's just put ourselves in Hagar's shoes a little bit. I think we have been in Hagar's shoes several times probably. When we think about it a little bit. Hagar was in this situation out here where she was the mother of Abraham's child, and because of some conflicts, she was all of a sudden found herself in the bush alone, thinking she was going to die out there and that her child was going to die. And God sent an angel and said to her, fear not, Hagar. And he comforted her. And Hagar was in this situation where she knew, on one side, it wasn't her fault. It wasn't her idea that to become Abraham's sort of wife and to have his child. It wasn't her idea. And yet, now here she is in trouble for that thing. On the other hand, it was sort of her fault that she was there, because of the way she acted. So have you ever been in that situation? Not quite fair, but yet on the other hand, I did have something to do with my situation. But anyway, God came to him, to her, and sent an angel and said to her, fear not. And then he came to Jacob and said to him, fear not. And to Joshua and to Daniel and to his people as a whole. That beautiful passage in Isaiah, I think it's verse chapter 42 or 44, I can't remember, where he says to his people, fear not, O Jacob. And it's beautiful. So God comes to them many times and says to them, don't fear. But there's a different kind of fear. And when we're talking about the fear of God and versus the fear of man, we're not talking about that kind of being afraid thing. What is the fear of God? The proverb says, come ye children, hearken unto me, I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Be not wise in thine own eyes, depart from evil. Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. Proverbs 3, verse 7. So, two questions arise from this statement. What does it mean to fear the Lord, and why is it important? Now, what does it mean to fear the Lord? We could use the word respect, and sometimes we do, to talk about what it means to fear God, because none of us really believe that it means to be afraid of God. I think we all understand, but sometimes we have a little hard time determining or deciding, well, if it doesn't mean to be afraid, what does it mean then? And we could use the term respect, but you know, that is good, but it's not very adequate either, because there are some things you respect that you don't necessarily love, and that you don't necessarily, it's not that God is asking for more than just respect. You know, because we can respect wild animals, we can respect the bull that's in the pasture, we can respect a lot of things because of, well, we just know that we have our boundaries, we have our limitations of what we can do with a wild animal or a dog or something like that. And so we have a certain respect, but so that's a very inadequate respect is good as far as it goes, but it's not really adequate. So let's think about this. What does it mean to fear the Lord? Exodus chapter 20, verse 20 says, and Moses said unto the people, and this seems like he's saying two different things here. Moses says to the people, fear not, for God is coming to prove you. This is when he was coming down on Mount Sinai, I believe. Fear not, he says. Don't be afraid, for God is coming to prove you. And then he turns right around and says, that his fear may be before your faces, that you sin not. So on one hand, Moses seems to be saying, don't be afraid, and yet fear. So what is he saying? So I would like to propose that fearing God does not mean to be afraid of him, but it means to be very conscious of his existence. Now you're far enough away you won't even know if I misspelled it, except those that are sitting in the front. His existence, to be very conscious of his existence. Now, none of us here are doubting that. I doubt it. Maybe people have gone through, maybe some people that are here have gone through stages in their life where they wondered about some things. But I doubt that there's anybody here that doubts the existence of God. However, I have friends that do. I have friends that, I don't know if they really doubt it, but they talk like they do. And we have discussions. In fact, several weeks ago, it was time to go to church. It was a Wednesday night, and it was there was a man and a lady there. They were from the village, but I had never one of them I had known a long time, but the other one I hadn't. And it was about 7:15. It was about time to leave for church, and they had come over to our house to visit. And Rhoda heard me ask a question, and she said, uh-oh, she knows this is going for a long time, because she had had a discussion with this lady before. And so I told Rhoda, the family just went on and went to church, and when they came home, we were still there, hard at it. But these people were just a really, I don't think they were truth seekers. They didn't talk like they wanted to even believe in God and his existence. But to fear God means to be very conscious of his existence, but not only of his existence, his character. What is God like? So to be conscious of his existence, that he does exist, and to be conscious of his character. What is he like? His power. What can God do? And his presence. And one more, his expectations. So God exists, and I think to fear God means that we're conscious of that. We're conscious of his character. What is God like? We're conscious of his power. We're conscious of his presence, that he really is here, and we're conscious of his expectations. Do you think God has expectations for us? He certainly does. He has a purpose for us. And to fear God means to be aware of that and to seek to find that. And the more we seek to find that, the more we'll the more we will, I think, come to realize that what God wants more than anything else, and the reason he created us, is because he wants a love relationship with him. And I tried to tell that to the, we discussed this with these same people that I was talking about, and because it just seems so, it's just such a beautiful thing to me that God created us because he wanted to have a love relationship. He gave us that beautiful, wonderful opportunity to love him and love each other, and we really mess it up seriously sometimes, and he loves us anyway, and he's giving us that opportunity. And to me it seems like it shouldn't be that hard to understand. I just don't get it, why people have such a hard time understanding that. But these people just shut their minds to it and gave me all sorts of reasons why that made no sense whatsoever. So that's what I think it means to fear the Lord. Now, is to be conscious of these things. Now, is there ever a time that we ought to be afraid of God? What do you think about that? Is there ever a time that you ought to be afraid of God? Now, we have some examples in the Bible of people who are afraid of God. Adam and Eve got to be afraid of God. Were they right, or was that unnecessary? What do you think? If you think it was good that they were afraid of you, if you think that was the right thing to do to be kind of afraid of God right then, nod your head, say yes. If you think it was the wrong thing to do, say no. Well, I'll tell you what I think. I think it was the right thing. They had a reason to be afraid of God. Don't you think so, when you think about it? Don't you think they had a reason to be afraid of God? Because why? Because they had done wrong. And they needed to tremble. They didn't really need to go hide from him. That was really unnecessary. They couldn't hide from him anyway. But there was a reason that they should have been afraid at that time. So there are times when being afraid is the right thing. There's a reason to be afraid. But that's not really what the fear of God is talking about when he talks about, when the Bible over and over and over again tells us that we should fear God. And so the fear of God can be cultivated. You know, the Bible talks about the heathen. It says there is no fear of God before their eyes, or something like that. So fear of God can be cultivated. And I would say that the closer we are to God, the more we fear him. Why is it important to fear God? Number one, fear of God will keep us from sin. You know, we can't sin deliberately while we have a healthy fear of God. Not to say we can't sin, because sometimes we sin by mistake. But sometimes we sin more deliberately than that. And there's different words in the Greek for those different kinds of sins. Sometimes sin means miss the mark. We may have been trying, but we just failed. And there's that kind of sin. But we can't sin deliberately while we have a healthy fear of God. Now, there are some examples in the Bible of those who feared God. Joseph feared God. And even in that land of Egypt where there was nothing godly about Egypt. Egypt was full of gods, but not of God. Egypt had a very, very developed religion, but it wasn't godly. It had nothing to do with the God of heaven. They had all sorts of other gods. But he feared God in the middle of all that. David feared God, and Goliath didn't seem like a big thing to him at all because he had the fear of God. So he didn't have the fear of man there. Now, Proverbs 8, verse 13 says, "The fear of God, the fear of the Lord, is to hate evil." So we're talking about the fear of God keeping us from sin. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. And then he goes on and names a few things that are evil that we struggle with: pride and arrogance. King James says arrogancy, but I don't think we use that word like that anymore. At least it seems like it's underlined in red when I write it like that, or when I copy it. So pride and arrogance and the evil way. So pride and arrogance, we sometimes call it other things, but probably if we're really honest, we look at that and it's something that God hates, and we should we should understand that the fear of God is to hate evil and pride and arrogance. Proverbs says, pride and arrogance and the evil way and the forward mouth do I hate. And Matthew chapter 10, verse 28 says, and fear not him, this is Jesus talking, fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. So, fear God. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1, I think I heard this in one of the memory verses this morning. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in what? Somebody tell me, from intermediate class or whatever it was. Did somebody say it? Didn't somebody say that? What was it? Fear of God, that's right. Okay, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. So why it is important to fear God? Because it keeps us from sin. It will keep us from sin, the fear of God. Okay? The fear of God also is what drives us to try to convince others to love God. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, Paul said. That's the fear of God. Knowing the fear of God, we've experienced the fear of God. We're conscious of his existence and his character and his power and his presence and his expectations. That surrounds us. That's the fear of God. Knowing that, experiencing that, we are compelled to convince others, to try to convince others. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but also not much more in mine absence, work out your own salvation with what? Fear and trembling. So that is, the fear of God tries to convince, drives us to convince others. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of, is the foundation of wisdom. So why is it important to fear God? Number three, the fear of the Lord is the foundation of wisdom. And it says that repeatedly in both the Psalms and the Proverbs. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. So that's where it begins. There's no real wisdom without the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is where it all begins. And there's lots of knowledge and lots of understanding in certain things, lots and lots and lots without the fear of the Lord. But real wisdom, there's none without the fear of the Lord, because that's at the beginning, that's at the foundation, that's where it starts. Why is it important to fear God? Number four, because the fear of God will inform and impact every decision we make. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 28 and 29. I kind of got caught here. I had these, refried beans here, and the last time I had it in Spanish, and I forgot to change that verse here, so I have to turn it to it in my English Bible. I have it written down in Spanish. Hebrews 12, verse 28 says, wherefore, thinking about this, the fear of God, that the fear of God will inform and impact every decision we make. Wherefore, we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Why? For our God is a consuming fire. Now, when we live surrounded by these things, the fear of God, It informs our decisions. It impacts our decisions. We make decisions different than we would if we didn't have the fear of God. And maybe this is the most important point yet, that the more we fear God, the less we need to be afraid of him. And we can say it the other way around, too. The less we fear God, the more reason we have to be afraid of him. So now, fear of God versus the fear of man. Let's look at the fear of man. So we looked at the fear of God and what it means. The fear of man doesn't really mean to be afraid of man either. It really almost means the same thing as this. We're very aware of the presence of man. We're very aware of it. Sometimes it's a particular man. We're aware of a person, not only a man. Instead of being conscious of God and his existence and presence and power and character and his expectations, we're aware of the expectations, very conscious of the expectations of some person. And the Bible says that that can bring a snare, or it does bring a snare, actually. We're conscious of his power and his presence and his expectations. When that trumps, or when that is greater, when we put man here, now, of course we want to be conscious of our fellow men, and we want to be conscious that they do exist, and of their character, and all these things. But when that is greater than our fear of God, or when this pushes out our fear of God, when we're more conscious of man than we are of God, that means that we fear men, and we don't want to do that. That brings a snare. The fear of man brings a snare, the Bible says. And what's a snare? Do you like trapping? Do any of you trap? Do you use snares? You do. Would you like to get caught in one? No, I wouldn't either. So, how do you think the fear of man can be a snare? It can be a trap and grab you when you don't want to be grabbed. And snares sometimes just grab you and hold you, but sometimes they kill you. And almost any animal that gets caught in a snare is going to die eventually. So how does the fear of man bring a snare? Why is it important not to fear man? Now, we have some examples in the Bible of the fear of man. We have Aaron, for example. Here Aaron was leader, was like second in command of the children of Israel, probably. And when they came to him and started, when the children of Israel, and Moses was gone for how many days, 40 days or something, maybe less or so, maybe less at that time. But these people came to Aaron and they said, they began to say, where's Moses and what's going to happen here? And let's just, maybe we ought to head back to Egypt. And they started saying all kinds of things. Aaron allowed them to influence him to do something really, really terrible, to build a calf, a golden calf, and worship it. And he led in that. He led in that worship. The fear of man is an example. Now, Peter is another one that gave us two examples of the fear of man. He did it when he denied knowing Christ because he became more conscious of the presence of people than he was conscious of the presence of Christ. Now, he repented of that, and he was forgiven. And remember what repentance means? It means it means a change of mind and a change of purpose. That's what Peter did. But he slipped again later in his life, and he began to show some favoritism, or he wouldn't eat with the Gentiles because there were other Jews around there that were offended, were going to be offended by it. And so he slipped again. But I think I'm certain that Peter again repented of that. So that's an example of someone of how the fear of man brought a snare and got him in trouble. Pilate is an example as well. Pilate did not think that Jesus should be crucified, and yet he was more conscious of the presence and the pressure of people than he was about of Jesus, of God, and he had Jesus crucified. Now, what about today? Were you ever tempted? I'm going to ask the young people again, and really your parents have this problem too, but I won't talk to them right now. I'll talk to you. Were you ever tempted to shun someone's friendship a little bit because of what other people thought? You could be friends with him or her when there was nobody else around, but if one of your other friends was there that you knew didn't like him or her, then you kind of didn't want to be friends. Did it ever happen to you? Don't nod your head or shake. Just think about it. Just think about it. Because that does happen. And your parents struggle with it too a little bit sometimes. It's because we really do. We don't really want to, depending on who is around, we don't really, we kind of shun. But that's the fear of man. The fear of man does just exactly the opposite of what the fear of God does. The fear of man, you know how the fear of God keeps us from sin? The fear of man will lead us into sin. And how the fear of God, whatever the fear of God does, the fear of man does almost exactly the opposite. So we need to think about that. We need to think about that. How much do we do because of man consciousness, because of fear of man? Or because of, I'm going to do this because this person is here, or I'm not going to do this because this person is here. Now, I'm not talking about respecting another person's conscience or his convictions, because we do. We would allow ourselves to be influenced by another person's conscience and convictions. And in their presence, there's some things that we wouldn't offend them for anything. But I'm talking about, and I think we know the difference. How much do we do because of man consciousness? The Bible says the fear of man brings a snare, but the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. So how can we grow and develop in the fear of God? We had a good Sunday school discussion this morning. There's lots of discussion on the Word of God and how important it is to our lives. And I can't really think of anything, any better way to know God than to read His Word a lot. And there was some discussion as well in the Sunday school about how we should read God's Word. Should we just read it from cover to cover and read a lot at a time? Or should we read it more carefully? You know, in your workshop, you have all sorts of tools. And they're used for different things. Sometimes you want to... If you're a farmer, you have a disc that'll tear up the ground, and then you'll have a tiller that will refine it a lot more, will till it a lot finer, and there's all sorts of ways to read the Word, and we shouldn't just use one way. We shouldn't just always read large portions, because then we miss the small things and we miss the details. We shouldn't always be buried in the details, because then we miss the big picture. We need to read the Bible in many different ways, or in several different ways. We need to read lots at a time sometimes to get a big picture. And we need to sometimes just really, really focus and dig, because you can go as deep as you want to go in any part of the Bible. But if you just stay in one little spot, you can dig and develop in one little spot, but you'll miss a lot unless you cover more ground. So there's more than one way. There's more than one good way, and there's more than one way that we should. So how can we develop the fear of God, the reading His Word and meditating, thinking about that? I can't really think of any better way than that. And just there's this old book called, I think it's called Cultivating the Presence of God. That doesn't seem quite right. But something like that when we actually think about, meditate and think about the God just simply being surrounded by His presence, that's a good way to cultivate the fear of God. Let's kneel for prayer.